Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of Proverbs chapter 21, verse 15. Proverbs 21, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 15 reads this way. It says, "It is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne tonight, thanking you again, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, in your church, and Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered together in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you, Lord, for your presence. You've asked us, Lord, to call upon you, and especially to ask you specifically for the filling and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we ask that you do that tonight, that we might hear from you. Lord, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, that you would be honored and glorified and highly exalted in our lives, drawn closer to you and strengthened by the power, Lord, that you've indwelt us with in your Holy Spirit. For your honor and glory, Lord, and our blessing, and Lord, that we might be truly the witnesses you've called us to be of your great grace, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message tonight is simply, "It is joy to the just." We're going to look at a couple of things that brings joy to the just. We're going to notice in our text, it's going to bring joy to the just to do judgment. We're going to notice also, it is joy to the just to fear and have faith in God. It is also joy to the just to be kept from the danger of wandering out of the way. And it is joy to the just to value the importance of loving God above everything. And then it is joy to the just to be protected from the consequences of unrighteousness. And so this is just basically wrapped up in just a few verses right here that we're going to look at. But God, listen, wants us to understand and to step into a deeper relationship with Him. Salvation gets everything started, and we thank the Lord for that. But there's so much more that God wants to reveal to us. We have to be in the center of the wheel, of the potter's wheel, that he might fashion and form us a vessel to his honor and glory. Think about this now. Ready? Think about that illustration with me just for a moment. The potter places the clay in the center of the wheel so that he can fashion it and form it the way that he wants it to be formed. But if the clay moves a little bit off-centered, he's not going to be able to do really anything, because he's going to be chasing that clay around, not to do any real work on it, but to center it. So what is the center? What does the clay being in the center of the wheel of the potter mean? Well, it's in a place to where we can receive the hand of God in our life to shape us to be like him, because that's what his will is. So I want you to stop and think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ told his disciples, the apostles, if you will, to follow me, didn't he? Do you remember what they did? They forsook their livelihood, didn't they? They forsook their friends. Isn't that good? And they followed the Lord Jesus Christ, and then everything was happily ever after right from that point. No, it was not, right? There was something still that they were dealing with, right? They had forsaken everything almost to follow the Lord. They had forsaken the things that we could see, but there's something that they did not forsake that you could not see. Do you know what that was? Lord, who will be the greatest in the kingdom? Can you figure out what they were? See, Jesus said, you must do something if you're going to follow me. Now, they did forsake everything, physically speaking, but the dealing with self, see, they were still, even at the towards the resurrection, you know, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Even towards the Lord's crucifixion, they were still discussing amongst themselves. And so that is the same process that you and I have to deal with. But listen, the Lord is in the business of wanting to do that work. And then when that work takes place, my goodness, there is no telling what God can do. Listen, through your life and mine. That's what God wants to do. Peter, of all people, preached and 3,000 souls were saved. Why? Don't you believe he was that vessel that God could use? God did a work on him. By the way, just before this great victory, he had a gigantic defeat. You know, I think that last one took the wind out of his sails, and he realized there was no good thing in him. Amen? I mean, he had denied the Lord 3 times. he thought the Lord was finished with him, and that was really a good place for Peter to be because he was always ready to give his opinion and his ideas of what God could do, amen, or should do. And so here the Lord put him in a good place. And so God is wanting to place us in this place. As we consider our text tonight, be mindful of this, that we must be in the center of the wheel of God, that he might form these truths to be a reality in our lives. So look at verse 15 with me again. And so we find here that really it is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. So it is joy. What does that mean to do justice? Well, the word justice has to do with judgment. In the Hebrew, the word is mishpat. And that means to not do unrighteousness. Because if we say, well, we want to do justice. We want justice. Have you heard that today? We want justice. Well, that means something completely different. In God's definition, right, it means to do no unrighteousness. In other words, we don't just want our way. We want what is holy and upright in the sight of God. We don't want what I want. The only way that we can do anything that is true justice is to do what God has said. And we have, as a society, we have veered very far away from what God said is right and wrong. I heard some fellas say, you know, an eye for an eye. Oh, well, that leaves two people blind. No. He pulled context. He pulled the truth out of context. And what God was giving to the Israelites as they've been freed from Egypt, he was giving them truths to do true justice. In other words, foot for foot. If something, you had, in other words, an equal trade. If something was done wrong, then that very same thing was required of that individual. That is true equity. In other words, we don't favor one person over the other. Realize the consequences that if you rob somebody of a certain thing, you need to replace that certain thing, right? And so God was saying, listen, I want you to know that tooth for tooth, in fact, you know, if you on purpose try to hurt somebody and you cost them their tooth, well, shall we take an arm? No, God says no. It will cost them their tooth, right? And so what does that do? Oh my goodness, that's so horrible. The world would say, well, look at what the world is allowing today. Tell me that's not horrible. A woman, and I can't remember what state it was in, they call it, starts with a J. I don't want to say jogging, but something along that line. They followed her, a young mother. She looked like maybe at the oldest, maybe 30. And they followed her. They saw her at the ATM. They followed her, they said, for some 20 miles. And she was out in an open shopping center, you know, one of those strip malls. And these guys came up to her, and one guy picked her up and threw her down, and I guess her head hit the curbstone or whatever, paralyzed. A mother of three. We don't want to punish crime. I mean, after all, listen. This guy, we can't just put him in an institution. He deserves another chance. What about that mother that is now paralyzed? What about those three children now that do not have a mother in good health to take care of them? See? And that's why the Lord said, listen, if this same will be required of you, right? And so society has gotten away and says this now. We know better than God. Well, how do you like what you see so far? I don't like it one bit, okay? I don't like the idea that schools, closer than you realize, are doing things behind the parents' backs and not letting them know it and telling the children, shh, don't say anything. What kind of garbage is that? I just had an adult that's got, I don't know if it's a son or a daughter in school, and he's telling me this is what's going on. And he's asking me, what are the alternatives? I mean, listen, and this man, as far as I know, I don't know that he knows the Lord. But he's concerned for the welfare and the well-being, and rightly so, for his children. But now society has deemed it the right thing to do that they can now tell us. But by the way, they're just people like you and I. The difference is, though, we want to adhere to the guidance of the Word of God. Because God has no, how would you say, favoritism. He's a respecter of no person. He is truly just and right, and by the way, and merciful. So all that will come to him, will he not receive? Absolutely he will. He doesn't reject anybody. He doesn't say, well, because of your background, you don't stand a chance. That's not what he says. He says, all that will come and seek me out, I will bless them and show them the right way. So in the Hebrew word, this idea of doing judgment means to do no unrighteousness. And then look at verse 15 again, and the bottom part of it here, the second part is the idea of having fear in the Lord and having faith in God. So verse 15 again, it is joy to the just, to those who've been justified, to the people of God to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. See, we know this, right? The lost world doesn't know this. Now, that will in turn give us compassion for the lost, but wait a minute, it will also guide us to not walk in their steps. My goodness, listen, if God is going to bring destruction and calamity, and he is, tell me the judgment of God has not fallen on our society. Is there any real happiness in our society? Is there any real peace? If there was, then why all the animosity and all the outrage, all the vehement attitude towards people that you don't even know? And by the way, prejudice, prejudging people in our society that we don't even know. Is that not taking place? People are calling people names and accusing them of things they have no earthly idea whether that be so or not. They just say, because you're this color, this is what you are. I mean, my goodness, if that's not prejudice, I don't know what is. And here's the scary part. People are listening to those people and believing the lie. Now, are there people that are prejudiced and people that... Absolutely. But are you gonna hit them over the head and make them do the right thing? By the way, listen, these same people that are accusing people they don't know, are they just? Are they in the right? You see, listen. So all we're doing is we're championing what I think is justice and right instead of what God is saying. You see how far off we get? The Bible says, and it's amongst believers specifically, but the world is doing the same thing. Those that compare themselves by themselves, you know what the Bible says about them? They're not wise. In other words, they say, I'm right. I got my own standard. I look at you and you're not right because of whatever I think. Here's the problem, what they don't realize, that you and I do. We will all stand before one judge one day. And by the way, here's the truth. Ready? We are standing before him right now. And every word that we speak and every thought that we think, he is quite aware of it, and we will give an account for those things. So how should we walk before the Lord? Amen? We ought to be seeking him and saying, oh God, that I might walk in your ways. Look at verse 16. Listen, it is joy to the just to be kept from the danger of wandering out of the way. Look what the Lord says here. The man, verse 16, the man, that's mankind, the man that wandereth out of the way. That's, listen, if you're saved, that's you and I. Is it possible? Have you ever wandered off course and got lost? Have you ever been lost before? Listen, my wife and I, we were engaged to be married, and I never knew anything about deer hunting. I did not until I moved to Missouri in 1991. And so somebody got my interest. I think it was Brother Chester Lohman. You can blame him for that. Anyway, he said, and his dad had all kinds of acres. Well, anyway, we were by her cousin's house, and it neighbored the woods. And I thought, well, this is easy. You just walk in the woods, and you turn around and walk out the woods. Well, I walked through the woods, and we were looking for deer sign. Did I even know what deer sign was back then? And we just kept walking and walking, and all of a sudden I didn't know which way was back. And her parents got a little bit concerned, and I don't blame them. I was really concerned because I'm looking for the road. We walked and we walked. I think we were gone for 2 hours. And there was snow on the ground, so everything looked the same, right? So I was in a real pickle there, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this is just not good. Any way you slice it. But listen, just wandered a little bit here and a little bit there. And the next thing I knew, I was good and lost, right? And so listen to this. to the man that wandereth out of the way. That's, and the way is God's way, is what he's talking about, of understanding, or the truth, shall remain in the congregation of the dead. When you start veering off the path, you know what you're going to listen to? The lie. Because the way is the truth. Anything outside of the way is a lie. Is that not the truth? Anything outside of the Word of God is a deception. It's a lie. And so if we're not careful, listen, be careful what you listen to. Be careful what you watch and who you listen to, because that is wandering out of the way. It's not a real literal path. It is a figurative of our life and who we're listening to and who we're allowing to guide our lives. And so he says, if you wander out of the way, you'll start to listen to the lie and believe it to be the truth. It is joy to the just to value the importance of loving God above everything else. Look at verse 17. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. So God says, be careful what you've given your heart to. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Because there's a rich, there are those to seem, listen, the Bible says this, there are those that seem to have everything and yet have nothing. And there are those that seem to have not a lot and yet have everything. Do you know what that means? A relationship with the Lord is rather to be desired. Now, that's not saying that if you have wealth, that that's a bad thing. It's where our heart is at. Did you notice that in verse 17? Again, he says this. He that loveth, so it's where our love is at, where our heart is at. He that loveth pleasure, right? Who should we love with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul? The Lord. And so he says, this is important. And by the way, it is joy. I am so glad, listen, that my eyes have been opened to the truth. You know, listen, before I got saved, I believed, really, one of my friends said, the boy with the most toys at the end wins. Wins what? And that's what the world lives for. Get all you can all you get, and sit on the lid, bless God, and then give it to your posterity. But the truth is, listen, even greater than anything, I'm so glad I went back and read our founding fathers. Some of them were wealthy. Most of them lost all of their wealth during the Revolutionary War. But here's what some of them said. They said, you know what? I'm giving you what I have, and it's maybe not as much as what I had before, but if you had everything I had and had not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have nothing. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and have nothing, you are the richest person on earth. Isn't that an inheritance to be had? Isn't that a truth that we praise? Why was that dropped off somewhere? And that was because the devil's been fighting all along the way against the truth. And if God's people aren't careful, if we don't adhere to the truth, the next generation will only see what we show them. And if we don't have a heart for the Lord, the next generation won't see that either. If we come more alive to the things that are perishing than the things of the true wisdom of God, the next generation doesn't have any hope, right? And then the last thought here is to be protected. It is the joy of the just to be protected from the consequences of the unrighteous. Look at verse 18. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. Well, what does that mean? A ransom for the righteous. This is a payment for choosing the righteousness of God. Because there's a price to pay. And by the way, the word ransom in the Hebrew is kopher. You got to roll the R a little bit. I'm not too good at that. And then you got to have a little in there. But here it is. It means it deals with the price paid, right? Look at verse 18 again. The wicked shall be a ransom for the righteous, and the transgressor for the upright. In other words, we pay a price. How many of you figured this out? If you believe what the Word of God teaches, it's automatic. The world will hate you. You don't need it. Why? That alone ought to tell you there's a spiritual battle. Why? Why? Listen. If you believed in Buddha, do you think you'd have any real issues? You can believe in any other faith except for what are the two most faiths that are persecuted? The Judeo-Christian faith, because that's where the truth came from. Not those people, but God blessed those people with the truth. Amen? Not that they were more deserving, not that there was anything special in them, is what the Bible says, but because God chose to do it that way, and he's got the right to do it. And so he says, but I want to bless all nations, right? Every nation. I'm the creator of all mankind. And so he says, this is the ransom. And what's going to happen is you and I are paying a price to walk in the truth and to believe in the truth. And you're not going to be appreciated. But one day, those that reject the truth, and this is not what we want, but the Bible is telling us, the Word of God is saying that when you there's a price to pay to follow the Lord. Did you know that? The Lord never made any bones about it. Oh yeah, everybody follow me, your life. You're never going to have a problem in the world. Is that what he said? He said, man, look, people volunteered to follow him. He said, look, I have rocks for pillows. Anyway, right? I'm outside. Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. I don't have anywhere to lay my head down. Is that what you want to follow? Are you sure? Jesus preached, and everybody that heard him, when he said that you must eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, many of the disciples that were following him chose not to follow him anymore. And then he looked over at the 12, and he said, will ye also go away? And do you remember what they said? To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. See, listen. Listen carefully. God's not trying to be popular with the world. He's the Savior. He's not trying to start. And by the way, listen, we want God's blessings and we want spiritual growth and we want souls to be saved. That's our heart's desire. But we don't just want a big congregation, because then you're going to have a mess. You're going to have people in here that really don't know the Lord and don't really care about the things that are spiritual. And they'll bring in the wisdom of the world and what they think instead of what God has said. Do you know that God is not asking us to think when he said, follow me? He didn't say, now follow me. Which way do you think we should go? Is that what you think Jesus said? Or he said, follow me and I'll show you. You follow me. And when he said, Abraham, go, the Bible says that he didn't know where he was going, but he trusted the Lord. That is the same thing you and I have to be willing to do, to be committed to the Lord and to follow him. And how many of our ways? Some of them? Half of them? Most of them? Or all of them? In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. And so tonight, this is the truth. Listen, it is joy to those who've been justified. In the nutshell, to believe every word that God has said and to not be deceived and give ear to the world that hates him. You're not going to find it there. Listen, I will tell you, more important than anything else in this life is your personal relationship with the Lord. Your personal, more important than anything else. If that was your personal pursuit and you forsook everything else, I promise you, you would have the most fulfilled life in the Lord. Right? In other words, I'm sorry to say this, there is no president in the United States that's going to save the morality of this nation. There's no president, no president. And in fact, the earlier ones would have told you that. You know, to raise up a nation, is God not involved? And even George Washington said that when we turn our backs on the Lord, that'll be the beginning of the demise of our nation. Was he right? He was right. And so, listen, our hope is not in the White House. Our hope is in God's house. And God's people seeking the truth, listen, and asking God to bring it to fruition in our lives, Lord, that I don't want to just go through the motions. I want God to embed that in my heart, in my mind, that's who we are. We've been bought with a price. So tonight, God reminds us, God brings us joy if we are justified, amen, by the blood of the Lord, and seek him. And if we seek the Lord with all of our heart, mind, and soul, Do you know what the Lord said would happen? We would find him. And I don't know about you, but I need the Lord more today than ever before. How about you? More today than ever before. So tonight, God says, call on me, and I'll answer and show thee great and mighty. He always says that. He says, in fact, open the door. I'm at your door. I'm right there. Open the door to me, and I'll come in, and you will see what life really is all about. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the wisdom, the guidance that it brings. Lord, I pray that you would open up our eyes, that we would not be deceived by the things, all the deception, all the things that the devil, the prince and power of this world, is doing now. May we not look to those things and be disheartened. May we look to your word, the promises you've made and given to all those who have put their trust in you and know you as their Savior, that we might walk upright by your grace and be filled with your joy and your peace, not what the world has that passes away, but what can never be lost, Lord, in you is the joy that you desire to give and the peace to all of your people. Bless the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.